Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacy Toth of PaleoParents.com and author of two paleo cookbooks, the first, Eat Like Dinosaur, kid-friendly gluten-free recipe and guidebook, and Beyond Bacon, recipes that respect the whole hog.
And I'm Sarah Ballantyne, also known as the Paleo Mom. I have a background in medical research, and I love to write approachable explanations of the whys behind the paleo diet. I'm also the author of two upcoming books, The Paleo Approach, which is a complete guide to managing autoimmune disease using diet and lifestyle, and the companion guide, The Paleo Approach Cookbook.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up, and you get to listen to our gossip. Welcome back to another week of Let's Listen to Stacy Talk Out Her Nose.
Well, I'm looks like I'm going to be joining you because I've got a really killer sore throat and I'm starting to lose my voice. So fortunately, my kids have like just runny noses, so I think this is just going to be a head cold. But I apparently am going to join you with the frogginess. And it'll be just like an amusing episode for everybody too.
I can happily say that after we spoke last week, whereby I had all these ambitions of writing hefty blog posts and getting on top of life, my body told me to slow down a notch, and I got the flu. So for those people that don't get my newsletter, have seen it on social media. But I only had it for about 2 days, and I'm on the mend. My only concern at this point is that before I went paleo, I used to have chronic bronchitis, and I'm having that like wheezy chest cough thing that I used to get when I used to have bronchitis, although I don't have a fever or anything else. So I am trying to take it very easy and make sure that I do not give myself something more drastic, because it's a common result after the flu for a lot of people, and considering that I was so prone to it for so many years, I'm just gonna try to take it easy and drinking my bone broth, my kombucha, my gelatin smoothies, and everything I can possibly do. I'm actually curious, but I ended up losing about 5 pounds just from like not having an appetite, and I'm really hoping that that's not all entirely muscle. But it's the first time in my life where when I got on the scale, I was kind of upset that I'd lost weight, because I knew that it was like a detriment to my training that I had lost that much. So it's kind of a weird sensation for me. But anyway, so I'm on the mend now. Got my appetite back. Working back up to gaining some energy, but haven't been in the gym in a week. And I know, Sarah, you're not feeling your best, so for our poor guest, she's going to bring the pep this week. We're happy to welcome back Tara from PrimalGirl.com. Welcome, Tara.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're going to try really hard not to be Debbie Downers, because we're excited to have you on the show, and I'm happy to be feeling better. This is the first time that I'll be standing up for an extended amount of time. For the last week, I've pretty much just been laying in bed. So I'm at the stand-up desk, and I feel accomplished just at that. So anyway, so Tara, your website, primalgirl.com, you've been a guest on our show twice before. Monica can put links in the show notes. And we're excited because you're releasing a autoimmune-related book called The Hidden Plague, which releases very shortly. Would you mind giving people just a quick reminder of your background and a little kind of overview about your book and when it comes out and where they can find it?
Sure thing. Well, a lot of you guys have heard my story before, where I went primal. I had a, you know, tremendous success with losing a ton of weight, and all my problems went away, and whoop-de-doo, I'm feeling fantastic. But something that I didn't talk about during that whole time is a condition, a skin condition that I'd been dealing with since I was about 14 years old. I recently got diagnosed, so I found out the name of it. It's called hidradenitis suppurativa, or HS for short. And it's really embarrassing. A lot of people that have this condition don't talk about it. They don't share it with family and friends. Whether they're afraid of being judged, afraid of the stigma, or the fact that any doctor they go to just doesn't have any help for them at all. We all have our own personal reasons for not coming forward. But once I discovered the autoimmune connection between this condition that no one was able to help me with, and I was able to put it into remission, I realized that there were millions of people out there in the United States alone that needed my help. They needed some sort of guidance. So I decided to put together a resource for people suffering from HS, and I wrote it all down in a book, and it is now almost officially on the bookshelves.
Congratulations. Sarah and I both know what an accomplishment that is.
Thank you. It took about a year and a half. At first, I was just planning on doing a short little 10-page ebook that I would just put up online for free. And I realized as I was writing, I would be doing everyone a disservice if I didn't go into every single aspect of putting yourself into remission, whether it's not just the foods you eat, it's also avoiding sugar and decreasing inflammation. And there's also a hormone connection as well. And stress plays a huge part. So the more I got into things and the more I researched the paleomom.com and learned autoimmunity, then just the more things there were to say. And so finally, I had to cut myself off. Actually, I think the editor cut me off and said, all right, that's enough. Anything else, you can put it in the next version of the book. So
it really is. I'm actually holding it in my hands right now. And it really is, like, when you say a field guide, like, you mean a guidebook. Like, it really is very complete, and it tackles, like, all of the angles. So I think that's really, really cool.
Oh, thank you so much. I think I may have gone a little overboard because there are no resources for people with HS out there. There are absolutely no credible resources at all. I felt that I wanted to create kind of a one-stop experience where people could stop wasting money on wacky medieval, old wives' tale remedies, and they could turn to this one book that would have pretty much every answer to any question that they would have.
If anybody has questions left at the end of this book, they're being very creative with their questions.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That really was a goal of mine.
Tara, can you, because you just wrote an entire book about it, can you maybe explain for our listeners what hidradenitis suppurativa, I said it, what HS actually is?
Okay, sure. It turns out it's an autoimmune condition, and it's a skin condition which can be either quite mild if you're in stage one, or it can be absolutely debilitating and ruin your life if you have a more severe form of the condition, or if you're in stage three. Basically, it manifests as painful boils and deep-seated lumps and bumps, and even ingrown hairs, and at times things that appear to be like cystic acne. And it usually shows up in inverse areas of your body, so where skin touches skin. And if you think about those areas in your body, they're actually the most painful areas. Your armpits, your groin, your inner thighs, your buttocks, underneath your breasts. If you're overweight and you have folds of skin, then maybe in between the folds of skin. But when inflammation is really, really great, it can affect anywhere on your body that's a hair follicle. So think about that. Try and find a place on your body where there are no hair follicles. That's basically what HS is. Really, really painful boils that take months, sometimes years, to go away. And when you go to the doctor, you're told that there is no cure, there is no treatment except for a daily course of antibiotics, which has not been proven to be helpful in any way. Either that, or people are subjected to really, really invasive surgeries, which can take them a couple of years to heal from.
How does somebody who might have the stage one HS know the difference between HS and cystic acne?
Well, cystic acne is going to appear more on your face and on maybe on your shoulders, on your chest. If you go to a dermatologist, they'll be able to tell you the difference. But if you have HS, you're going to know you will have had at least one bump or boil somewhere, maybe in your groin, on your bum, in your armpit, somewhere that you normally don't get. Lumps and bumps or pimples. So that's one good way to tell. But if you're really in doubt, you should see a dermatologist and at the very least get checked for staph or MRSA as well. MRSA can have very similar symptoms to HS. So it's a good thing to rule those things out.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Cool. So, Sarah, I know you said you're getting sick. Do you have anything else? We talked about your birthday last week, right? I'm not imagining that.
It was my birthday last week. So I haven't had another one since then.
But your first week of being older?
Fortunately, I've been too busy to think about it. I did want to say...
I've been super excited about getting older lately. I'm 39 years old. I'm in my sexual prime right now. I just realized that. It doesn't get any better than this right now.
That's awesome. I just turned 37, and I have to say, it's the first time in a while I haven't been that enthusiastic about being a year older. And I think I was talking with my husband about it because I wasn't really quite sure why. Because normally birthdays, you know, I just have fun and they don't really bother me. But every once in a while, I'll have a year where it'll get to me. And this year, I was kind of not that thrilled about it. And I was talking about it with my husband, and I realized that it wasn't because I turned 37 so much as because my baby turned 4, because her birthday is the day after mine. And I just realized that it wasn't really that I was 37 that was bugging me. It was more that my little girl is, you know, a 4-year-old, and she's a huge 4-year-old, and she's got opinions, and she's getting her little second child rebellious streak going nice and early. And it was more just realizing that, you know, that she was, you know, getting bigger was, I think, more what I was having issues with, just that sort of lamenting, because she was such a, I mean, she's a fun kid, but she was such a laid back baby and, you know, fairly easygoing toddler in the grand scheme of toddlers. And then just to watch her grow up, I mean, it's fun too, but I think that was more what was getting to me, was more that sense of, you know, sentiment about babies growing up. But I did want to say, I've had, you know, a large number of emails this week from people who just emailed me to thank me for various blog posts or podcast episodes or Facebook status updates, things that had really made a difference to them in their lives, and things that, you know, content that I had created that was helping them and making a difference for them. And it just seemed like an unusually high number. And I just wanted to say to those people that I really appreciate it when you take the time out of your day to send me those emails. They really are encouragement for me, and they really motivate me to keep going and keep producing really awesome content. And it just, you know, it means a lot to me that something that I've done has helped somebody. So I just wanted to thank those people who took the time out of their days to reach out and connect with me. I haven't had time to reply to all of them. I probably won't until the book goes to the printer. But I just wanted to, if anybody is also listening to the podcast, you know who you are. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, you really helped me out quite a bit, Sarah. I don't know if you saw the, in the back of the book, the little note that I wrote to you. But my book is absolutely full of quotes from you from beginning to end, because
I noticed a few of those.
I'm sorry?
I noticed a few quotes. I was like, hey, there's my name.
Oh, let me see. It's on page, it's in the acknowledgments. But I wouldn't have been able to write this book without you and without your site, because your site is the only one out there that explains all this scientific, you know, really heavy duty stuff in easy to understand terms. And page 247.
Thank you.
Welcome, sweetheart.
That's nice.
There's a cute little love fest happening right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
So, we all
love each other
in the community. It's so important, and it's part of why I love being part of the community. So, awesome. You guys want to maybe answer some questions? I think we pulled together some autoimmune-related questions that we think Tara can help with, considering her research and knowledge from the book. And normally we would have a Science with Sarah segment, but because Sarah's doing plenty of science as she gets her book off to the printer this week, we're gonna give her a hall pass for this week on doing no science.
Thank you.
And certainly you can refer back to any number of our previous autoimmune shows to get lots and lots of science, which I'm sure we'll sprinkle out through the questions as well. You ladies ready?
Ready.
Let's do it!
Questions and Answers, where we answer questions submitted by you through the contact form on our websites, paleomom.com and paleoparents.com.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Okay, so our first question is from Ashanti from Jackson, New Jersey. Ashanti is 5'3", 188 pounds, and has PCOS. She writes, I look and feel horrible, always tired, large stomach, acne issues with breakouts from time to time. A1C was elevated, joint issues with spondylolisthesis, painful and slipping knees, chondromalacia, major feet issues all my life, blood clot and now protein C deficient, and must inject Lovenox when traveling, dental issues all my life, no sex drive at all, and dryness in vagina, smelly underarms, hirsutism, especially bad on my chin, itchy scalp, etc., and I need help. I am wondering if this type of diet is really good for me. My nutritionist had given me a list of foods to eat, but I couldn't keep up with it. I tried being a vegan and detoxing for 21 days and did well, but only lost 3.5 pounds and regained the weight over the weekend when ending after eating a bunch of candy. I was so disappointed, especially since I was so disciplined. I'm trying to get that feeling back now. I don't like to cook, nor am I a good cook. Help.
Okay. That kind of sounds like me before I went primal. A lot of those things that she was mentioning, I had, including PCOS. And so what I would say to you is in the symptoms that we share, a primal or paleo diet was really beneficial for me to get rid of all of those problems. And what I found with PCOS is that it does come down to insulin. So some of the other things that you're experiencing are a result of hormones that have gone out of whack because your insulin is out of whack. So if you can correct that and regain your insulin sensitivity, some of those symptoms are going to balance themselves out on their own. Sarah, do you want to chip in? Because when it comes to the medication and those big science-y words there, I have no idea what they are.
Well, I mean, it's basically a bunch of joint issues, but then it's also like clotting problems and skin issues. And these are all things, I mean, they're sounding like stress is an issue. I definitely think it sounds to me that she's on a sort of 80-20 paleo diet and probably looking at the autoimmune protocol and thinking that it's very restrictive. But if she can do a vegan detox for 21 days, like, I think that's way more challenging and restrictive than the autoimmune protocol. I really think the autoimmune protocol allows for a ton of variety. And sometimes it's variety in foods that people aren't very familiar with. And she does mention that she doesn't like to cook. But I think that, you know, some of the things that are probably key things to focus on, if she doesn't want to try going full autoimmune protocol, blood sugar regulation, like you mentioned, Tara, is really, really important. Omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids are really, really important also for lubricating the joints. So all of those joint issues and the blood clotting issue. Omega-3 fatty acids actually have profound effects on blood clotting factors and actually can be therapeutic for a variety of, thrombosis and other sort of blood clot diseases. So high omega-3s, it's always best to get omega-3s from fresh seafood compared to a supplement. And then the other way to get omega-3s is to make sure that the quality of meat that you're eating is high. So pasture-raised, grass-fed meat has more omega-3s compared to omega-6s than conventional or industrial-raised meat. And then the other thing for, it's really skin and joint and bone problems that can be really, really helpful is glycine. So this is the amino acid that we get out of bone broth. You can also take it in supplement form, either, you know, Stacey mentioned gelatin smoothies at the beginning of the show. So either gelatin or collagen, which is basically the same thing, except it doesn't thicken. So it's a little bit easier to dissolve, especially in cold liquids, if you want to just put it in a glass of water and drink it. Those things will be really helpful. And then, you know, I always, when people look at the autoimmune protocol and they're really intimidated by it, you know, I always try to say, if you're going to focus on one thing, focus on the nutrient density side, because it's going to make the biggest difference to your immune health to have the vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants that your immune system needs to function properly. And so that means that whenever you have the option of eating a really nutrient-dense food, you know, that means organ meat. It also means fish, shellfish. Anytime you can eat fish with the bones, it means bone broth. But it also means vegetables, lots and lots of vegetables, really highly pigmented fruits like berries. Citrus fruit is also a really great choice because it tends to be lower in sugar and also still really, really high in vitamins and antioxidants and minerals. So anytime you can make a choice of a more nutrient-dense food, that's going to help, you know, your immune system get back on track, and it's going to give your body what it needs to heal. And I also would not suggest approaching it as a challenge or as a diet, so much as eating the best way you can to be healthy. Because if you, just from what Ashanti tells us in this question, she already has this ability to approach a challenge and then when it's over, binge on candy. And that's not going to help at all. So, you know, I would suggest trying to figure out how to approach a more nutrient-dense version of a paleo diet in a way that's going to be sustainable, that isn't a 30-day challenge or 60-day challenge or 10-day challenge, and figure out how to do it so that you allow yourself what you need, whether that's, you know, some extra fruit or some coconut cream mixed with a little bit of honey on some berries, or, you know, whatever that kind of treat is, so that there's no, you know, oh, I'm done and I'm just going to eat this bag of candy. So I think that what makes something sustainable, it's always more sustainable when you start to feel better and you start to see that it's working. But finding that balance for each person is a very individual thing.
I would say, because she mentioned skin issues, and she also mentioned itchy scalp, I know that for me personally, those two things are caused by exposure to yeast. When people hear yeast, they think yeast infections, but you can actually be intolerant to yeast and it can create leaky gut and can be a trigger for autoimmune conditions. And I've been finding in talking to people that when it comes to autoimmune skin conditions, more often than not, yeast is playing a factor. And we're not just talking about brewer's yeast, you know, yeast in bread. There's alcohol contains yeast. Grapes have wild yeast on their skins. People would eat berries and flare up and not know why, because there's wild yeast that settle on the berries. And if you don't rinse it off or the fruit is overripe, then you're getting exposed. So little things like that, if she's experiencing itching and skin issues, might be something that she wants to look into a little further.
And I would say, too, that, you know, oftentimes we recommend, and you can go back and listen to a previous autoimmune podcast for more detail and information, but that people really go 100% paleo and kind of celebrate how much better they feel going that way and try to avoid adding a lot of the specific foods that can be problematic for autoimmune, like don't overdo eggs, don't overdo nuts, don't overdo nightshades. But just simply, you know, going paleo can often help so much. And then, you know, focusing on nutrient-dense foods, focusing on higher quality foods, focusing on omega-3s and the things that Sarah mentioned, and then kind of migrating your way towards an autoimmune might also help with the feeling less like, oh, this is a thing I'm going to do for 30 days and then it's going to be over. Because the whole point with an autoimmune protocol is to help deal with regulating your health. And that isn't something that you can just turn on for 30 days and then turn off. So, you know, for me, that was when I decided that I was going to do an autoimmune protocol. It really was kind of the awakening moment for me where it was no longer about weight loss. It was about finding health. And there are a lot of serious health issues happening that are far more concerning to me in this question than the person's weight. So I would say definitely to really think about how to reshape your health, how to get healthy. My biggest suggestion, in addition to the yeast thing for the skin condition, would be the removal of dairy when you're going paleo. I wouldn't suggest going a primal route in the beginning because dairy can be a big trigger for skin conditions.
For PCOS as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I know we've thrown a lot of things out, but I think for me, blood sugar regulation with going regular paleo and then migrating towards, you know, nutrient dense, omega-3 rich, all those great foods that we talk about, you know, focus on them after you've just given yourself 30 days to just remove the junk. Just allow your body to kind of do a full 30 days of a true paleo and then say, okay, now what? You know, do I want to add some of the great things that we've talked about that maybe intimidate you? Bone broth, gelatin smoothies, liver, things like that. Or do you want to, you know, focus on fish? You know, kind of come up with a plan for yourself and be proud and happy and celebrate as you take each one of those steps because you're doing it for your health. Don't look at it as like a negative thing. Look at it like, you know what, this thing that I did was, you know, for 1 week, you know, reward yourself. And it doesn't have to be a food reward. It doesn't have to be, you know, whatever. Like, go out to the movies with yourself. Go get a manicure. Go do something to say, you know, you're not suffering. This isn't a bad thing. You are focused on your health, and that's something to be proud of. And, you know, just, I would say, change in perspective and learning to understand how much of a priority health is will be the best thing to get you on the road.
So our next question is from Arzina from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. She is starting the autoimmune protocol referred from Dr. Krasian's website as per a new doctor. She doesn't sleep well. She's been diagnosed with Sjogren's, has vasculitis, and now perhaps palindromic rheumatism. A salivary adrenal gland test indicates adrenal fatigue, cortisol levels very low for midday sample. And this is her question. When starting the autoimmune protocol, can the new way of eating make some of the symptoms worse? My skin has a rash and I feel a little depressed at times. I am not sleeping well. I love your website. Thank you. I think that was submitted through my site. So thank you very much. So can symptoms get worse when you first start the autoimmune protocol? Tara, what was your experience?
I went from a horrible diet to going primal, and I saw improvement. And then I went paleo, and I saw improvement. And then I went autoimmune and saw complete remission. So for me, it's very difficult to answer this question. I didn't just start with the autoimmune protocol. I've heard that things can get worse before they get better. And of course, if your body's right in the middle of an inflammatory process, you know, doing the autoimmune protocol for 3 or 4 days isn't going to make that automatically get all better. It's going to take time to heal. Sarah, what have you found?
My general experience was that I saw when I first went paleo from a sort of lowish carb, not particularly nutrient dense standard American diet, I saw huge improvements right away. And then as I went autoimmune protocol, I was seeing pretty slow, gradual improvement with quite long periods of time where I wasn't getting worse, but I wasn't getting better, which was frustrating. And then a few times where I got exposed to nightshades after starting the autoimmune protocol where I had flares twice it happened. And those were very, very frustrating because it was the first time I was testing tomatoes. The second time was an accidental exposure. And that was probably even more frustrating because it wasn't a choice that I made. But I do hear from people that some symptoms do get worse, usually only over the very short term. So something like 1 to 2 weeks before they get better. Usually those symptoms that get worse are gastrointestinal symptoms. So people might, when you do a major diet shift, there's a really big shift in the bacteria that live in your gut. And in fact, diet has a far bigger impact on the numbers, the variety, and the location of organisms growing in your gut than anything else, more than probiotics, more than medications. And when you adopt the autoimmune protocol, you're eating the foods that have the biggest corrective influences on gut bacteria levels, varieties, and locations. And so one of the things that can happen is if you're going into an autoimmune protocol with an overgrowth, which is very, very common in autoimmune disease, that gut correction can come with a lot of gastrointestinal symptoms. Most normally, it can come with abdominal pain and diarrhea. For some people, it can come in the form of constipation. And some people get skin conditions, and it's considered, and usually it's like their eczema will get worse, or if they have psoriasis will get worse. And it's considered kind of a detox reaction, although there's actually no scientific evidence suggesting that that's what's going on. But it's generally considered like a Herxheimer reaction where you've got so many bacteria dying in the gut that they're releasing toxins and it's getting into your system and causing this, toxic overload. There's zero scientific evidence supporting that. But there's also, it hasn't been investigated in this context either. So we just don't know for sure if that's what's going on. But that's usually, at least in terms of anecdotal reports, short-lived. So something like a week to 2 weeks. And then you should see things getting better. If they aren't, you really need to be evaluated by a healthcare professional because it could mean that you are eating something that you're sensitive to. It could mean that something else in your system is out of whack. You need to talk about what you're eating with a healthcare professional so they can make sure that you're getting all the nutrition that you actually need and that the way that you're implementing the autoimmune protocol is actually balanced. You need to get seen so that somebody can go, this shouldn't last more than 2 weeks. And if it gets severe, if you have really severe abdominal pain, if you're pooping blood if your skin condition is like, you know, a true autoimmune flare where you're, you know, the even psoriasis can be life-threatening. So don't you know, bear through it because it's only day 5 and you're going to make it to day 14 before you go to a doctor. Like, have some sense and, you know, don't deprive yourself of conventional medicine, which can be life-saving, just because you're so determined to make this natural system work. The natural system can work, but sometimes you needed to do it in conjunction with conventional medicine to get things under control before you can really control everything with diet and lifestyle. And things like not sleeping well can be a real problem because it feeds a vicious cycle. So we've talked about sleep before on the show, and I'm not going to go back into all of the things that we always say about working to get better sleep. But definitely whatever you can do to prioritize sleep and stress management are going to help everything come together as well.
Well said.
So the only other thing that I want to add to that is I don't think you said specifically which symptoms she said were getting worse. And if she's referring to sleep being more difficult, I would encourage her to check how much carbohydrate she's consuming.
Oh, good call, Stacey.
Because oftentimes when people go on autoimmune protocol, she might not be incorporating enough healthy, starchy carbohydrate or fruit or, you know, whatever it is she needs. I know for me, I need to add carbohydrate before in my last meal of the day. So I just would encourage you to look into that if you're needing some help managing sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. So our next question is from Robert from Portland, Oregon.
Robert,
who says, "Hello, ladies." I'm assuming that's what all the extra O's on hello mean. I'm assuming that's how he's saying it. Robert, if I have misrepresented how you say hello, ladies, please let us know. He says, "I am one of the rare guy listeners." I think he's like number 18 or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I have 2 guy readers, so you guys are beating me.
We're working our way up. We're bringing them in one at a time.
We're in double digits at least.
All right. So Rob writes, "I know my question will be unique, but I'm hoping the discussion will and answer will be helpful to many. I was exposed to asbestos as a child by being born in Libby, Montana." You can Google Libby for a sad story, and we'll actually put a link in the show notes about this. But I'm not trying to dwell on the past. Instead, I'm looking forward. Here is the problem. This particular type of asbestos is different than the one most are familiar with. This type works its way through the lungs and pokes out the other side. The immune system sees this and attacks. The white blood cells are not able to remove the fibers and die trying. So as you can see, the immune system is constantly fighting a losing battle. This has resulted in a lot of weird symptoms in the people affected, especially if they were exposed while young like me. Some initial studies included in the link that he gave us, we'll put it in the show notes, indicate extremely high rates of autoimmune disease among those exposed. This has prompted a larger study that is currently underway. I feel that the immune system is in an overactive state, and not winning results in the system going crazy and taking pot shots at anything, sometimes self, resulting in the autoimmunity. In my case, I haven't developed autoimmune yet, but I have developed neuropathy in my feet. I have done quite a bit of research that links immune system to inflammation to neurodisorders. I believe that is where I am. Now for my questions. What can I do to support my immune system in this case? I've already adopted a paleo lifestyle and attempt to remove a lot of the things that would obviously make things worse. Are there things I can do to make things better? Would eating an autoimmune protocol do anything beyond standard paleo, since the immune offender is not food-related and will not go away? I plan on seeing a mix of doctors to run some tests and see how my system is doing. Are there specific tests you would recommend? Any advice and insight would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for all you do, Rob.
Kudos to Rob for his good attitude.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anyone wanna... Don't make me like read the question and answer it first. Someone else jump in there first.
I said something. I don't have much to offer.
I would say this is a little beyond me. And Sarah, what do you think?
I think the answer is that, you know, yes, there are things that he can do to regulate his immune system even more tightly over a paleo diet. They aren't necessarily food related. This is an extreme case because the environmental trigger is lodged within the tissues of his body and cannot be removed. But there are plenty of autoimmune diseases where the environmental trigger is something like a past infection, and that can't be removed either. And so what you do is you tackle it from the things that you can change, which are diet and lifestyle. So, I think that just like the previous question, going autoimmune protocol, I clearly think that's the best way to go if you have an immune or autoimmune problem. And I think that what he could do is try it as an elimination diet and try adding things back in and see if that affects the neuropathy in his feet, and see if he can find if there's any triggers within that. Of all the foods eliminated on the autoimmune protocol, I think nightshades are the most likely to be trigger foods because the lectins and glycoalkaloids in them act as adjuvants, so they're immune stimulators. The other things, though, are not related to diet. So, diet can make sure you have all the nutrients you need for your immune system to function, make sure you remove any potential immune stimulators. But the things that are probably going to make the biggest difference are going to be things like making sure that he gets tons of sleep every single night and that he never has a night where he, stays up late to go to a party and only gets 4 hours sleep. Whatever he can do to manage stress, taking up something like meditation practice, yoga classes, Tai Chi, martial arts for a more active form of meditation, some kind of activity that's going to also help sort of de-stress and clear his mind is going to be really, really helpful. And then, making sure that he's active but not overdoing it. So, the best thing that you can do is walk. I really think that, if you can walk every day, avoid sitting for prolonged periods of time. And that means, if you do have a desk job, just getting up every 30 or 40 minutes and going to the bathroom or going and getting a drink. Just walking around for a minute or 2 minutes every half hour can make a huge difference in terms of how sitting for a prolonged period of time affects you physically. So I think that that adding in whatever fun, active hobbies make sense for him, or finding ways to sneak activity into his daily life, really making sure that he's got great stress management techniques so that when life, does throw a curveball, that he's got some strategies to help, deal with whatever the situation is without his cortisol going crazy. Sleep, spending time outside, all of those lifestyle things that are so important for regulating hormones, and all of those hormones that lifestyle things regulate are immune regulators. So getting, I would actually almost say that I would recommend focusing on the lifestyle pieces before tackling a more restricted diet. So I think if you're focusing on nutrient density and then the lifestyle, you've got a really, really good toolkit for regulating the immune system. And then, unfortunately, the trigger is lodged in his body. So, sometimes, crazy things can cause an autoimmune flare, and it's really, really hard to figure out exactly what it was. But, some people will get a cold, and just the way that cold activates the immune system will cause a flare. And that's not something that we typically have control over. So you just kind of do the best you can. The good thing is he's going into this with a really healthy, positive attitude and, also really proactive. So I think he's in a really good spot.
I feel badly for not coming up with some of those things myself and making you answer them all.
That's okay. I think my voice will get at least another couple of minutes.
Yeah, and I think not just for Robert, but I think for everybody in general, it's really important that you kind of recapped all those lifestyle things because I've been
reading them all day in my own book.
Yeah, well, but also that's the reason why we're sick. You know, like, I didn't follow my own advice lately. I've been going too hard and doing too much, and I mentioned several weeks in a row, like, we've been having a crazy couple of months, and just a lot going on, and I hadn't been sleeping, I hadn't been doing things, and then, lo and behold, it does not surprise me at all that I got a cold, and then I got the flu. Like, it just, you know, we know these things, and sometimes we don't do them ourselves, which doesn't make them any less valid that they need to be done. So I think it's really important. And I know for me, stress management has been huge in helping to control the symptoms that I have related to autoimmune. I mean, it's huge. And we talk about it all the time as being a snowball of, you know, well, if you don't do, let's say sleep, for example, then you're more likely to consume foods that you wouldn't normally eat the next day, which then, you know, will give you all kinds of symptoms that you wouldn't have. And then, of course, you're less likely to sleep because you've been indulging in whatever. And, it just ends up being this bad snowball. So I think once you learn how to get that under control, and for Sarah and I, we each have our own habits. Sarah really likes raw sauerkraut and organ meats for breakfast. I really like soup for breakfast. You know, we have, like, the thing that grounds us to start our day, to set us off straight. And I think if everybody finds the thing that grounds them and makes them feel great, I know for me, one of my new grounding things is to have a cup of chaffee in the evenings rather than having a sweet thing. It's been my go-to since I've started training and really tried to cut out sweets and treats from a regular rotation in my life. And that's really kind of grounded me from, I don't need food after I've eaten a meal. Like, I've trying to eat more nutrient-dense dinner instead of saving room for something else. And then having a cup of chaffee has been really awesome for me. So I think it's just, like you said, it's a matter of finding habits that help form the healthy lifestyle, and focusing on them can be really powerful in a cohesive way with diet, and sometimes can be even more powerful if you're already eating a pretty clean diet. Focusing on those things will naturally help your diet clean up. Like, I'm less likely to eat junk if I'm focused on sleeping and, you know, those kinds of things. So
yeah, I agree. Totally. It's exactly the same for me. And it really all starts with sleep. If my sleep is locked down and I'm getting 8 to 9 hours of good sleep a night, everything else seems to fall into place. I don't feel overwhelmed, you know, so when I have 15 or 20 minutes, I will meditate, and I feel like I have more energy to move. I don't have as many sugar cravings, but the minute I get a bad night of sleep, I'm kind of fighting against the current the entire next day. So that's what I concentrate on the most, is my sleep, and I find everything else falls in line.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm going to call that a show. And we'll have a record-breaking interview and Q&A show in under an hour. I don't know that we've ever been able to do that before. So thanks for keeping us on track, Tara. So Tara, thanks so much for joining us this evening and coming back onto the show. You're officially a regular now.
Woohoo! Yeah, anytime. Let me know. I've got nothing going on now.
Congratulations on the birth of your book, baby. And
oh, thank you so much.
We hope lunch goes wonderfully for you. Just to remind everyone, you can find Tara and more information about her book, The Hidden Plague, on primalgirl.com. Or Tara actually told us before the show starts that Mark's Daily Apple is running one of their infamous pre-sale promotions. And if you get the book, I think she said within the next week or so, so you might have a couple days after the show goes live, that you would get some bonus stuff from MarksDailyApple.com, who is the publisher for Tara's book, The Hidden Plague, through his site. So please make sure to check that out, and don't forget to support Sarah and I's mission to keep this show sponsor-free by shopping on the sidebars of our website, specifically Amazon, if you're doing some holiday shopping. I think this comes out on Black Friday, so while you're sitting around listening, perhaps you can do some online shopping after you enter through the Amazon link on our sidebars. And if you haven't yet left an Amazon review, we love it when you do that. If you're nice, if you're not nice, we don't like it if you do that. So
you mean iTunes review?
Yeah,
right?
What did I say?
Amazon review.
It's like once I get an
you
Amazon
could leave an role. Amazon review on Eat Like a Dinosaur or Beyond Bacon.
That's true. That would
or
be nice.
Or on The Hidden Plague. You can
or on
that.
The Hidden Plague. You can't do it on my book because you can't do it until my book's released. So you have to wait till Christmas Eve. But I know what you could totally do Christmas Eve while you're, you know, enjoying your fire in your fireplace and waiting for Santa.
Everyone's priority on Christmas Eve. Sarah, we're all going to run to do that.
That's what I'll be doing.
Awesome.
From like every email account I can find.
Great. So thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back again next week. And have a good one. I already said that. I'm losing my touch, man. I was on a roll for so long. I was like almost professional. And now I just...
Maybe some of those 5 pounds were brain cells.
Obviously. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you know what? You're still a million miles ahead of me, so we're good.
All right.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tara.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.